how a new Alibaba stock would make just about any other initial public offering in history look puny by comparison. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Alibaba, the online commerce giant of China, has filed the paperwork to trade its stock in the U.S. Regulators will now comb through the more than 2,000 pages of Alibaba documents. If the IPO moves forward, it could be valued at $100 billion. That is six times the value of Facebook when it hit the public market 2 years ago. The BBC's chief business correspondent, Linda Yu, is following this. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
It looks like what we have here is a way for investors to really make a bet on the future of the Chinese middle class.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, because there's certainly no shortage of tech stocks to buy into. But if you wanted to get into a company that is like Amazon, but for the Chinese middle class, then that's exactly what Alibaba represents. And their user base is, according to their prospectus, absolutely massive. They have something like 300 million people who buy on their website. That's like the population of the U.S.
Would you expect this to happen sometime this year?
Yeah, I think we've been sort of waiting for a while to see what they'll do. Basically, what they've said today is we want to list and we're going to take it around investors. And we don't know from the exchange yet when the date of when the shares will go on sale to the public. But normally speaking, probably about a month's time, we should be seeing the shares ready for their debut.
The BBC's chief business correspondent, Linda Yu. Linda, thank you.
Thank you.
There is debate in the TV world about changing the way they measure how many people watch commercials. Some networks say with all the time shifting, viewership is undercounted, which means money left on the table. Kate Davidson reports.
How long does it take you to watch all those programs you DVR?
A day or two.
Sometimes a week, sometimes the next day.
1 to 2 months.
Right now, ad deals are based on what's known as C3. That measures commercial minutes seen live and in the next 3 days. Jonathan Stoyer is TiVo's chief research officer. He thinks as TV viewing changes, the measurement should change too.
Whether it's C7 or C28 or C-infinity is an interesting question, right?
He recently took 10 popular shows and measured how many folks watched the ads on days 4 to 7. Enough did that Stoyer says networks missed tens of millions in potential ad revenue during those days, because from day 4 on, your eyeballs don't count. Brian Weiser is with Pivotal Research Group.
From the network's perspective, they're saying, hey, if someone didn't skip the commercial on day 4, why are they worth nothing?
Weiser says the money lost is actually a drop in the bucket. And from an advertiser's perspective, commercials can get stale. If you're promoting a Saturday-only sale, the ad doesn't do much good on Sunday. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
It's just over a year since a clothing factory collapsed in Bangladesh, killing more than 1,100 people. The tragedy has brought some changes to safety conditions in places that may have manufactured the shirts on our backs. What has gotten less attention is a change in the law there that lets employees form a union without the permission of their employer. Nomita Nath is a labor organizer in Bangladesh on a visit to the U.S. organized by the International Labor Rights Forum in Washington. She started working in a garment factory when she was 12 years old.
They used to make us work until 10 o'clock at night. If production wasn't finished, they'd make us work overtime without any overtime pay. There wasn't any clean drinking water. The management used to hit the women for little things. If they said anything, if they asked any questions.
Pressing for a union is never easy, made tougher still by what Nath describes as a simple tactic. Employers can tell employees to sign a blank piece of paper. That signature, Nath says, becomes a form of control.
Anybody who tries to unionize, they make these people sign a blank piece of paper. By signing the paper, it allows managers to write things on that piece of paper that will hold us guilty. They'll write things like, we've stolen something or we've broken something. Anything can be written on top of our signature.
So in the face of this requirement that people sign a blank piece of paper, in the face of people's concern about their jobs and their livelihoods if they were to join a union, what do you say in response to fellow workers?
I tell them that if they threaten you that you'll lose your job if you don't sign the paper, I say that you'll lose your job faster and in a more insulting manner if you do sign. If you lose this job for unionizing for any reason, then we can fight on your behalf. We can bring the law on your side.
I want to bring up the terrible Rana Plaza disaster from a little more than a year ago. Nomita, you would have been shocked when you heard what happened at Rana Plaza, but were you surprised?
As bad as I felt hearing about that, in my opinion, I feel that the owners and the supervisors probably don't feel a thing. In their eyes, we don't amount to much. I put my work forward, and for that work, I gained some money. But I'm here to work, not give my life.
Ms. Nath, what about the risk, though, that as more factories in Bangladesh join labor unions, this may raise the costs of labor for management, and they might take those jobs away to other countries, away from Bangladesh?
I don't think that the industry will leave Bangladesh because Bangladesh has gone through a lot. A lot has happened. Yet I haven't seen any decline in this industry. You won't find any other country where you can get so much work for so little money. We get about 5,000 taka a month. That's so low. For it to go a little higher wouldn't hurt anything.
5,000 taka is close to the new minimum wage of $68 a month. Nomita, thank you. Nomita Nath is a labor organizer from Bangladesh. We spoke to her during a U.S. visit organized by the International Labor Rights Forum. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.